Christmas, everyone. How are you doing tonight? Hey, thank you so much. Would you give our student-led drumline a huge round of applause again to thank them for sharing with us tonight? They did a fantastic job. Well, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Rob Zimmerman. I'm the lead pastor here at Westgate, and we are so delighted that you have chosen to come and to spend your Christmas Eve with us worshiping together. I especially want to say hello to all of those that are at home and worshiping online. Again, thank you for tuning in and joining us this evening. Tonight, our Christmas Eve service is meant to be a time of reflection for us, a time to sit back, to enjoy listening to Scripture and being reminded of the Christmas story and the true meaning behind Christmas, to listen to Scripture, to sing songs, and to worship our Savior together. And so, again, we are so ecstatic that you have chosen to come and worship with us this evening. As we get started, I want to take just a moment to begin with a quick word of prayer. So would you please join me? Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much for the love that you have shown to us in sending your Son Jesus into this world. And Father, I pray that as we gather together tonight, that this would truly be a meaningful time of worship for us, a time when our world seems on end, it clouds our minds and it clouds our heads. And yet, Father, I pray that you would allow us again to recenter ourselves on the true meaning behind this Christmas, but more importantly, center our hearts, God, on the hope that we have because of you. We love you, Lord. We give tonight to you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.
Looking back over this past year, many of us might say it's been one of the hardest years we've had to endure in our lifetimes. With unrest in our nation, political fighting, and the numerous difficulties presented by the pandemic, for many in our world, there has been a sense of hopelessness. Yet, thousands of years ago, the Israelites knew a little something about feeling hopeless. After choosing to ignore the warnings of the prophets and continuing to turn their backs on God, God's chosen people were dragged off into exile in foreign lands, having been overthrown by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. However, in the midst of all of this, the prophet Isaiah foretold of the time where God would send a Messiah who would not only bring his people together, but who would usher in a time of everlasting peace. He said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give us a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel. This was no ordinary Savior. Emmanuel was and is God with us.
Right. come, O Savior of this world. The long-awaited promise you foretold can right the wrongs that man has done. We pray your glorious kingdom come.
Praise him. Emmanuel is coming. God's chosen people held on to this promise throughout the years. Hope was coming. Isaiah 9 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this."
And so it was. Around the year 4 BC, a young Jewish girl named Mary was visited by an angel of the Lord and told that she had been chosen to become the mother of the Messiah that God's chosen people had been waiting for centuries. And when the time came for the child to be born, this announcement was something they could only dream of experiencing. The Gospel of Luke recounts it this way. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'"
Would you guys stand and join us as we glorify that Emmanuel?
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. You who sing creation story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King. Come you here, Lord Jesus.
is with us, even now His love is here.
Come and worship.
Come and worship, worship Christ, the newborn King. God is with us, even now His love is here. His love is here.
Luke tells us, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. What an incredible night, not just for Mary and Joseph or the shepherds in the fields, but as word began to spread throughout the region and throughout the ages, hope had finally come.
Will you join us and stand with us again as we worship?
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Law is love and sent his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break,
shall he
for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Of joy, in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord.
He is Christ the Lord.
Oh, praise his name forever, and his power and glory evermore proclaim. Oh,
oh, night deep.
Let us adore him. Let us adore him.
I want you to think about it. This baby Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, as the Bible says, grew up to be a man. As we read in the New Testament, later on in his life, in his earthly ministry, Jesus tells this story to his disciples and also to groups of people that would listen. He tells the story of a young man who decided that he didn't need his father's guidance or help anymore. A young man who decided he could make a better life for himself by taking his portion of the inheritance from his father and setting off to a distant country. I'm sure for this young man, at his newfound freedom, it seemed like the best thing ever. With his pockets full and his dreams of an uninhibited lifestyle even bigger than his bank account, he truly lived it up. The parties must have been great. The people who wanted to spend his wealth with him, probably even greater. But soon he would come to this rude realization that what he had was not an endless supply of wealth for wild living, but a very limited ability to live the life that he had chosen away from his father. Jesus tells this story and says that this young man squandered everything that he had. And that's when reality began to set in for him. He would soon hire himself out to anybody that would take him so that he could try desperately to resume the lifestyle that he had been enjoying. But to no avail. No matter how hard this young man tried, all he could do was find a job out in the fields feeding pigs, not nearly enough to even support himself, let alone the life he desired to live. And he soon found himself in a place of hopelessness. I want to ask you this question. What is hopelessness? When we look in the dictionary, we see that the definition is that it's a feeling of despair. It's where you realize your complete inadequacy for a given moment in time. And in the story of this young man that Jesus is talking about, his feelings of inadequacy and realizing that the life he had before was far better than what he could attain for himself. And so because of this realization, he decides to return to his father. But in so doing, to plead with him desperately that his father would take him back merely as a hired servant, earning his keep in the process. I want you to think about this tonight. Do you see the connection in the story that Jesus was telling? When God created mankind, he created a perfect world that would provide everything we needed as we resided in a perfect relationship with God. And yet, as the Bible tells us, Adam and Eve made the decision to go out on their own, believing that they could do better than what God would provide for them. And isn't that the truth of what we experience in our world today? We have been created by an incredible God, a God who longs to provide everything that we have ever needed. And yet, because of sin, we choose, as men and women have from the beginning of time, to go out on our own, to try and find the most fulfilling life that our minds could possibly imagine. And yet, like the young man in this story, we find ourselves in a hopeless position. We find ourselves in a world that is always working against us. It seems as though the full life, the material pursuits, the security that we long for and that this world offers us always seems to be slipping through our fingers. From material possessions to lost jobs to bickering political parties, the fear of threatening viruses, and ultimately the truth that no matter how hard we try, our bodies will always feel us, and in this life, death is certain. When you think of hopelessness and when you think of despair, when you think of inadequacy, I want you to think about how people, maybe even how we, have talked about the year 2020. We want to throw it away as though if we can just get past 2020, then things will absolutely be better for us on the other side by simply flipping the calendar page. But the truth is this, the virus that affects our world, it may pass, but there will always be another thing that will take away exactly what it is that we are longing for. But in the middle of our hopelessness, the Bible reminds us that hope has come. When Jesus was born in a stable on that silent night in Bethlehem, everything for this world changed. When God became a man, he re-entered our broken world. And God's word tells us that Jesus came into the world on that night to live and to die so that if we would put our faith and our trust in him, acknowledging our brokenness, acknowledging our sin and our rejection of him, and then turning our hearts back to him, that we can live with the promise that when we leave this broken world, death is not the end. It has no victory over us, but it is merely the beginning of an eternal life in a restored and perfect relationship with God, the way that he always intended for us to have. So the end of the story that Jesus is telling with this young boy says this, that he returns home and he begins pleading with his father. And before he can even get a word out, his father comes running to him, overjoyed that his son has returned and inviting him back into the family, not as a servant, but as his son, as someone who, though he had offended his father greatly, was deeply loved. And tonight I want you to know this truth, that when we celebrate the story of Christmas, when we talk about Jesus in a manger, we talk about hope that has come into the world for us as human beings who have rejected and sinned against God. And yet, like the young man in the story, when we return to him, it tells us that God runs to us like that loving father, wanting to draw us back into perfect relationship as his children. And tonight, I want you to know that you can return to that relationship with your heavenly father and also with your creator and live with the hope that this world is not the end. And I want you tonight to know that if you would like to leave here with that hope, I would love to invite you tonight to make a commitment to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior and truly honor the gift that was given to us at this Christmas season. So as I invite you, I'd like to just invite us to take a moment to pray together. If you would just bow your heads with me in prayer. As you consider all that has been going on in our world, its brokenness, how it fails us, and you consider the truth about who Jesus is. The Bible says that he is Emmanuel, that he is God with us, that God himself became a man and entered into this world to restore us to a perfect relationship. So that where our choices in this world have failed us, he never will. And he invites you back into that relationship if you would place your faith and trust in him. And if you would like to make that decision tonight to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I just invite you in the quiet place where you're sitting tonight to pray this prayer with me. There's nothing magical about it, but what it is it's a prayer to God of commitment, saying, God, I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ. I want you to forgive me of my sin, and I want to trust you with all that I am. So pray this prayer with me if that's your heart's desire tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift that you have given me in Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that in the middle of the brokenness that we experience in this world, that I can know for certain that there is eternal hope with you. Tonight, God, I confess that I believe in you. And I confess that I believe in Jesus, that he came into this world and that he lived and he died and he rose again to take away my sin, sin that separates me in relationship from you. And I thank you, God, for the promise that if I come to you and confess my sin, that you will accept me as your child and bring me into your family. And so tonight, Lord, I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. I ask that you would wash my heart, and I commit myself to you and to your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for the gift of eternal life and the hope that you give me as I place my faith and my trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want you to know that if you prayed that prayer tonight, whether you're here with us in this room or you're watching online at home, I want you to know that the Bible tells you that you can know for certain today that with the commitment that you have made to follow Jesus with all of your heart, that you have the assurance of salvation, that one day when this world and everything in it passes away, that you have the hope of eternal life with God forever. And if you would like to talk more about that relationship and what it means to walk with God, I would love to talk to you tonight. Come up to me privately or anybody here on our team on this stage, one of our pastors, talk with us, share that decision, and allow us to walk with you as you begin this journey of walking with Jesus. If you're at home online, send us a message through our website, and we would love to connect with you. But for those of you that are here tonight and you've already made a decision to follow Christ with your whole heart, maybe you've been walking with him most of your life, here's what I want to encourage you with. Cling to Jesus. As you think about what Christmas is truly about, I want you to cling to Jesus. When you see and experience the brokenness of this world, when you turn on your TV screens, your computers, you read in the newspapers, I want you to remember that amidst all the brokenness and the hopelessness, that you have hope. You have a hope that the world does not have. And remember that this world is not the end. And that is why we're here to celebrate together tonight. To remember that Christmas is a celebration that we don't live in despair, but with incredible hope that can produce joy every single day of our lives as we walk with Jesus. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the gift that you have given us in your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that even in a season like this, that we can live not in fear, that we can live in such a way that we don't lament or feel hopeless over all the things that we lose, but that, Father, in the midst of it, even as we lament, we can live with hope, knowing that this world is not the end, but that we have the promise of eternal life with you because of what you did thousands of years ago in becoming a man and entering into this world as a baby. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you for giving him a life that would teach us, God, about how we can have a restored relationship with you. Thank you that he was willing to live and to die for our sin so that we could know you. God, I pray that tonight as we continue to worship, that you would seal the beauty of this gift in our hearts and that you would use it, God, each and every day to move us to live lives every single day that are wholly devoted to you and to live a life that lives victoriously, knowing that one day we will be with you again. We love you so much, Jesus, and we offer up our praise and our worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take a few moments as we close our service to sing a few more songs of worship to the Lord together, and I'm going to invite you to pull out your candles if you got those. If you did not receive one, I believe there are a few that are in the back tables as you exit outside of the sanctuary if you want to grab those. But in just a moment, the people here on the stage as we sing the song are going to light their candles. We're going to come and we're going to light them on the ends, and then we're just going to simply ask you to pass them down the row. Parents, if you would, just please keep watch over the young ones. And again, thank you for coming. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
Oh, come, let us adore.
Sing that first verse, one together, or all together, one more time.
We close out our evening the safe way so we don't all blow our candles at each other. Well, felt safe to me. I was sure the shake would work. Hey, yeah, don't teach the kids that. Everybody, thank you for coming tonight. And I just want to share with you, if you don't have a church home that you're a part of, we would love to invite you to come back and join us. We do have our two services every Sunday here on site at 9 and 10:45 a.m. as well. We have our live stream during our 10:45 service every Sunday at westgatechapel.org/livestream. We would love for you to join us. Again, as well, if you made that commitment tonight to yield your heart and your life to Jesus, I want to invite you to come and talk with me at the close of our service tonight. Would love to just journey with you in this walk with the Lord. Now, let's join in prayer together as we close our evening. Would you pray with me? God, you are so good. God, you are far better than we deserve. And we are so thankful for the gift that you have given us in Jesus. As we approach tomorrow where we're going to gather together, whether it be with our immediate family or others, Father, we're going to get together, we're going to have meals, we're going to open presents, we're going to do our Christmas thing. But Father, in the middle of it all, would you please remind us that the reason that we celebrate is because hope has come into the world and our hope is you. Father, I pray that in the midst of our celebration that we would not forget that this is all about you, and may your name be praised forevermore. We pray this together in the matchless and all-powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Hey, church family, thank you again so much for joining us tonight. As you're leaving, the band is going to play. You can stick around for one more song. If not, Merry Christmas and have a wonderful, wonderful New Year.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and hills and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Joy.
Merry Christmas, y'all.